Okay, let's see. We want that one off. Ladies and gentlemen, this is H of Consigne. And we're going to start off the show tonight with something that I recently reacquired that I used to love. I used to absolutely adore back in the 80s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, I'm going to play number 8. This is Felt from the 80s, from Glasgow, Scotland. And this is Consigne for another week here. All right. We'll be right back. You are listening to Quan Sin. That was Felt from Ignite.
I will not stop until I've got everything that I need. Some say it's honesty, but I believe it's only greed. But if you listen to what I'm saying every day, it must be honesty, but I'm not that sure.
We'll be right back.
Okay, you're listening to Cure Radio here, Consin, and Claire just called up and she's on her way in. So hope you're enjoying the show. That was Primitive Painters by Felt, along with Elizabeth Fraser of Cocteau Twins, that our guest and interviewer in studio, Liz, immediately recognized. What did that bring you back to, Liz? How long were you at KXIU?
I was there from 1995. I started in 1995, and I graduated in spring of 1999. So, and then I've been back sporadically to for people and stuff.
Yeah. I remember hearing you. You had like a really late night, early, like wee hours to the early morning show.
That was probably 1995.
Yeah. 1996, I think it was, because I was living out here in Silver Lake, and I remember listening to you once, and it was amazing. It was like, you know, when you're waking up and you're having a dream and you're not fully awake yet? And then I think I turned on the radio, or I had left the radio on, and this very, very beautiful ethereal music was on. I think I even called you up, you know, to find out about it. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
I didn't have it too much anymore.
Yeah. Me either. Sometimes it does, you know.
I can't get KXIU in my house. So, unless I happen to fall asleep with an internet station on, which isn't very often or really
yeah.
Unless I'm working on paper and I fall asleep.
Right.
It's not too much of a case these days.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I used to do it all the time. I'm like a big radio fan, you know, since I was a kid. Used to listen to AM and FM and even like sports broadcasts and all kinds of interview shows and stuff, you know. And I remember like always going to sleep with the radio and waking up with the radio. But then you're right, after a while, then you don't really get any deep sleep, you know. Sometimes it's okay, you know, to do it, but not all the time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm a huge radio buff. Uh-huh.
Great. All right. Okay, so let's put some more music on. Claire's on her way in. We're going to put something on from a soundtrack that I just bought from one of my favorite 60s movies called Danger Diabolic. This is...
Deep down. every minute of the daytime. I might, and every moment of the my time, and every second of my lifetime. I'm going to be loving you deep, deep down.
Yes, sir.
Don't try to yes on me, sir. You either.
Yes, sir.
What am I here to say to the Prime Minister?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, sir. I am going to have to come up with some brilliant idea. Otherwise, he's going to find a new Minister of the Interior. And the next man may not have the same understanding of police methods as I have. Can you grasp that?
No, sir.
I guess
so we have Liz, what is her last name? Do you want to say Liz?
Lizzo.
Lizzo. She's a DJ also and a former DJ of KXLU, and she's doing a master's. Tell us about your master's.
Okay, so I'm working on my master's, and it's a journalism master's. It's an alternative media-friendly program, and I'm doing my independent study on radical media, and one of the questions I have that I wanted to look at this semester is whether or not pirate radio is still relevant in the internet age. So that's why I wanted to come up and see KXLU Radio, because it's an internet station. And I wanted to get your perspective on it.
Welcome, Liz.
Welcome, Liz. Yeah, and I think it is still relevant. How about you, Claire?
Yeah, of course it's still relevant. Yeah. Especially the fact that radio is still something that everyone can have for very cheap. I mean, you can get free radios. You can get 99-cent radios. You can't get a 99-cent internet connection. I mean, most public libraries, and I'm a big advocate of internet connections at libraries, but you can't listen to radio there. You know, so if you're following KXLU Radio, you can't go to a library and listen to it. If you're going to school, maybe. But I think pirate radio, as far as FM broadcasts,
yeah,
I think are really important.
You know, there's some libraries that you have to take your own headphones. You could listen to radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but not all of them do. You're right. They have restrictions. Like, you can download some things. You know who would be ideal for you to interview, too? I don't know how many people or how much time you have to do this project. But Chris Burnett of Agit Drop, he does a show here on Wednesdays from 9 to midnight. He also has a fine band called
Sabertooth Tiger,
along with one of the members of our most popular program, Get the Fuck Up, on Mondays. Anyways, he will be ideal for you to interview. And even the lady that came up, she was the founder of KBLT. She came out with a book. I'm sure you know about the book. Sue Cummings, I think, or mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it's Claire will probably have more to say on that. But I think it's very relevant, right? Still the same.
Yeah, and I think internet radio is also really important, and I think it's reaching people that wouldn't reach. You know, if we were pirate broadcasting on FM, our radio station, it would reach people in Los Angeles who either heard about it or happened upon it, but it would be within right here. And internet, we're reaching people in like Idaho who don't have any access to any of that. You know, a lot of small towns in the States only have clear channel stations. We're reaching people in Chile, we're reaching people in Japan, and that's important for internet, as long as people know about it. But I think FM broadcasting and micro radio, this is like things outside of the FCC ordains, you know, the five stations they give for every 100 square miles or whatever it is.
Yeah. How about if we ask our listeners? We have a few listeners.
Yeah.
Either to call us up or instant message us. You could instant message us at Cure Radio Station. And let's see, our phone number is 213-252-0998. If you're from the local area or from across the nation or across the globe, or email us. Come on, we want to put this to the test, see how it works. See if
I know that Los Angeles has it's one of the hardest places in the United States to pirate broadcast, because there's only two empty channels, and that's 87.9 and 104.7.
Is that like where Pirate Cat was broadcasting out of?
Yeah, Pirate Cat, KBLT.
Streets was on 87.9 at one time. And then
oh, it's speaking to the microphone.
Oh, yeah, there was one called Streets that was on, and it was only broadcasting the Valley, I think, on 87.9, but
yeah.
It disappeared. But that one, I would listen to it all the time because I lived out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And very sad that I can't find it anymore.
When was that? What era?
It was like last year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them, and they pop up. If you are a true radio surfer, which when I have a car with a radio, which comes and goes, I am. You know, if I'm driving home at 4 a.m, I go through the radio stations, and you always find... Do you remember that one that was like kind of over, only in Silver Lake, 101.5 or 100.5? Anybody? Anybody?
I remember.
And it was all dance music all the time.
It was all dance music.
I remember that one, yeah.
Yes, and that that's actually really risky to have that station because it's owned by somebody, but nothing really happened on that in Silver Lake.
Yeah, and you know, when we started Consigne, we'll give you a little history of Consigne. After each show, we would like review the show, you know, have a drink or review the show, and then go home, but we would listen to KXLU. It was a really interesting show. It was on Tuesday nights, some like experimental.
Psychotechnics?
Yeah.
Mm.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Psychotechnics.
That's still going on, huh?
I think so, yeah.
And Demo Listen's still going on. They just had a big anniversary or something.
College radio is another really.
Yeah.
I hope you put that as a chapter to your thesis. Because some are really corporate, won't name any names. Still in LA, we all know which ones you can win a Jaguar on. And then some are really community-based, and some have nothing to do with students, and some do.
I think that one that which you spoke also is the one without any students, isn't it?
I mean, I've never heard a student on that specific one from Santa Monica. Yeah. USC Radio, which actually is on AM, and it doesn't even go beyond the campus.
Yeah.
But you can get it online. It's an internet radio station. Oh, wait. Come over to the mic. Come over here to the mic.
Another medium which is taking off is satellite radio, which is now launching off, which is getting more to the communities like Middle America without commercial free radio, satellite radio. They're launching it off, and these are companies that are serious, and they're definitely very Cyrus with the P.
But they wait a minute. But they're like kind of like music though. They charge you.
They have
like can't. But they have community stuff.
But too. It's affordable. It's kind of like internet, like $7
all right.
bucks.
No, there's tons of radio. I mean, if you look through that book,
we're referring to the Autonomedia Radio Text. written, I think put out in the late 80s, early 90s by Atana Media, which is a, regardless of what you're looking for, you should look up Atana Media. It comes out of Brooklyn.
Put out in 1993, and it's...
out of print, even. But you can still get it.
Is that a print?
Yeah. Oh. But I bought it off, like, used Amazon or something.
There's this chapter here on free radio in Japan, the mini FM boom. Like, what's up with that? But I'm sure there's... how did you get into radio? Like, tell us about your interest in radio and media, alternative media.
I got into it, I was in, I don't know, I started listening to it when I was a kid, and I got into, I started listening to K-Rock when I was really young, and it was, kind of, and at that point in time, it was like a completely different station, I think. I
mean, oh, it was, that it is now, yeah.
Yeah, that's, and I used to listen to Rodney Bingenheimer all the time.
Yeah, he had better time hours, too, like in the...
And then Mars, when Mars was around.
Mars FM, yeah.
I used to listen to that all the time
too.
As well. And
the early 90s, I think, right?
And then, yeah, in the same year that Mars went under was the year that K-Rock totally started to suck.
And yeah. What, like, year was that?
Went to hell. It was 1992 was the 92. Year that Nirvana got big.
Oh.
Yeah.
And because they're all tied in together.
Yeah, because that was actually when Mars FM came in, I was really hopeful for, like, a lot of, you know, that whole... not the, like, the commercial rave scene and all that, but the whole, like, electronica, early electronica, and before they even called it electronica.
It was kind of, that was the time when people were just putting out all sorts of homemade stuff, right?
Well, you know, no, it was a time when, it was the end of the 80s, the beginning of the 90s, and it was like, it seemed like there was a lot of promise for a better future, you know, and that soon got, commercialized, you know, but I actually thought, because I was in this play and they asked me, so what do you think of the whole rave phenomenon and stuff? I go, wow, I think this is going to really help the cholos. I think all the cholos are going to give up gang banging and going
take
to
ecstasy.
That's a rave. That didn't happen at all. Don't do that to the book, because it's paperback. It's going to anyway, so no, but tell her. She wants to know a little bit about how Konsin got started, right?
Yes.
Ah. Well, it has nothing to do with pirate radio, but it has everything to do with Umberto and I imagining that he used to have this penthouse apartment. I mean, kind of penthouse. But it was right over, you know, it was pretty high for Los Angeles. And we would get together and play records that we knew nobody played. That we never heard on radio. And this was kind of before... I mean, I've never worked a job where I would listen to internet radio anyway, but this is before there was any other alternative. Let me turn this stuff. Because somebody's talking in my back.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so we would just imagine what we would play if we had a big transmitter on the top of the penthouse.
Top of the building, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
And this is actually even before we... I mean, I've knew some of the people that created Cure Radio, you know, after that, but this is before they had actually launched Cure Radio.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And we, DJ Hassan, who does, is it Sunday to Monday?
No,
yeah.
Monday
to Tuesday, I always forget.
Straight Ahead.
Yeah. And this was an old friend of Umberto's, and he hipped us to Cure Radio as...
Yeah.
A possibility for where we could go do radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that since it's internet, and especially in 2000, it was like this kind of new idea that has so much potential for growth, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, like growing up listening to the radio, I would, like, a lot of kids will call in, you know, especially when they were giving free stuff or whatever, or sometimes to inquire about a song. And one thing that always frustrated me was, like, they wouldn't answer the phone for a long time. They just let it ring and ring. And I understand about, like, real popular radio stations or whatever. But it really, like, I don't know. It seemed like they put radio, like, or kind of like what they do with Hollywood or, you know, with celebrities. You know, like, real, you know, you have to pay a lot of money to train, or you have to go to school and all this. You know, it didn't seem like it was there. But I remember, like, also one thing that happened in the 90s, the Chiapas thing in 94,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then suddenly seeing, like, they had computers and they were communicating with people all over the world, and seeing, like examining also, like, the ways the best hip-hop has come up, or the best any kind of music, you know, any punk rock, everything is by people doing their best with what they have, you know. And so yeah, I used to listen to actually listen to KCRW a lot before. It was better, in my opinion. There's still some good shows there, but the way the presentation, you know, the way the sounds really canned, you know. KPFK has some good shows. I like them a lot too. But also, like, when they solicit money, you know, they say, okay, we're the only one that does this, and that irks me, because I don't think they're the only one, you know. And we're the only one that does this, you know. And a lot of people from Q Radio have gone over there, or a few people we've had there, but they don't really embrace the fact that, hey, you know, I hope they.
Well, I respect the fact that it does cost money to run radio.
It does.
To keep things up. And the way Kill Radio runs is that we are all DJs and we all pay to be here.
We pay
a collective.
$10 a month.
$10
which is
a
nothing,
month.
You know?
If you can't afford it, you don't pay. But it's like, this is our child and we are building it.
And there are no bosses, you know? It's up to each DJ, show, producer.
But I respect people who are interested in radio that costs money, and also are interested in things like Kill Radio, where it really is, it's a free voice, you know?
Yes.
I mean, we have a mission statement, which...
Yes, we do. Do you want us to read that, too?
Yeah. I think I've seen it, though, on the website. Is it the same one?
Once again, you're listening to Consin on killradio.org. We have DJ Liz. I guess it's Liz O, if you want a whole full name. She used to, for years, I mean, I spent a lot of time in the car listening to DJ Liz when she was at KXLU, Loyola Marymount. So, did you go to Loyola Marymount?
I did. Yeah, I went there from 95 to 99.
And do you have to take, like, Christian classes? This is just one thing I've always wondered.
No, you have to take 2 theology classes. I took Religions of the World and then Religions of India.
Mm.
So anything. Yeah, I had gone to Catholic school for 12 years before, so I didn't really want to take any other Catholicism classes, because I already had a lot. But
interesting. And now she's doing her master's thesis.
Actually, this isn't my thesis yet. I start my thesis sometime next year.
But you're
next school
in
year.
The process of researching. Alternative?
It could end up... Well, I'm doing it. It's an independent study. I mean, it could end up being something.
Oh, so you're getting credit for being on Consin. That's cool. Yeah? Anyone else who needs school credit for coming on our show, you know, just call. Station is 213-252-0998.
I do have another question for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Is having an audience the most important thing, or is that just the act of making your own radio show?
That's a very good question. Before, I guess we're concerned, you know, with, and that's almost subconsciously, you know, with having somebody out there that's listening. But that's not so much more now, at least for me it's not, because, you know, we're interested in doing good shows, because we're archiving them now, and also sharing this with other people, you know, that are, you know, like yourself, or you know, we try to have at least once a month at least a guest artist or musician or somebody that, you know, that's also interested in connecting, you know, the alternative or the possibilities of alternative medias. But I think it's in my opinion now, I think it's better, more important for us to do better shows and do it for the love of the music, instead of to try to reach as many people as we can. I mean, I ideally would like to do that as well, you know. I've been saying that this year. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, ideally, of course, But we've had moments where, like internet radio, the system goes down, and we're here and we're doing Konsin. It happens once in a while. Oh, like what? No, but the thing is, like, last week it went down, but then it came back. Devoted Konsin listeners know.
Yeah. And you know what? Thank you for the heads up, because we let somebody know and then they fixed it right away.
But so the question, like, you know, do we care if there are people out there listening? Of course.
Of course we do, yeah.
We archive, so we have this idea of having this library. But even then, there's something about, like, we're building something for this future greatness. And, like, Umberto and I used to see a lot of each other. We don't see each other so much. And Tuesday nights, we get to play records, you know. And most likely, it will be archived for the future. But it's always, you know, Konsin is, like, a good time to actually bring out what we're doing again. So yeah, I mean, sometimes it's radio for the sake of radio. We have responsibilities, but sometimes it's just radio.
Yeah, just for the love of it. Or
radio that exists. Listeners.
Yeah, going back to Umberto about the free radio in Japan, which was born out of the 70s. However, you know, free radio in Japanese defined was not launched until the 70s, when a small number of pirate radio and television stations began in Italy. Even though these stations risked being shut down by the police, they survived and grew gradually, supported by the listeners.
Thank you. How do you feel about, like, audience and, like, for example, you mentioned, I mean, right now it seems like radio, like regular radio is terrible, you know? And I think they just go for the mass, you know, the
lowest common denominator.
Lowest common denominator. What do you think? You agree?
I concur.
All right. All right, cool.
Yeah, and it's like, who are these lowest common denominators? But when I started really thinking about it and actually having time to and using internet to research stuff, you know, you find like WFMU actually in New Jersey has some great archives.
Yeah,
they have some great archives of, like, random. They don't even know where to find the guy anymore. But he, what was his name? Rabbit, the White Rabbit, and he was broadcasting in Vietnam. You know, pirate stations. Not that anyone cared. There's no FCC in wartime Vietnam. Why don't you come over here and talk to we have an off mic commentary. Come over here.
There was a DJ back in the time he graduated from the school of Chicago, and he was the first gringo to cross the border of Arizona, and he was the only guy who had like a 500,000-watt radio, a transmitter at the time. And the government chased him down for years because he was broadcasting all these things. He was all about, like, his whole agenda at one time was to get his message across about healing people through medical research, through gonads and whatnot. And the government, like, yeah, healing people through, like, eating, like, human gonads fed by sheep. But he had this 500,000 transmitter, and he was able to broadcast in all the southern states and some of the middle mid states of Americas.
And this is a man broadcasting from Mexico,
right over the border. DJ Dr. Brinkley of the 60s.
Yeah, there's a whole. We could talk for hours and hours about the various histories of radio. There's like the whole border radio. A lot of the stations here in America were actually located, the transmitters and the station was located, I think the transmitter was located the other side of the border, and the station, 91X is in the other side, but they broadcast out of San Diego. And that, I think there's a film that David Byrne did called Border Radio
Days? Or Radio
something.
Days.
But anyways, let's get back.
Let's take a music break.
Yeah, let's take a music break, and we'll come back and focus with Liz here.
We got another really good question for you.
Wonderful.
We got another really good question.
So you're listening to Kill Radio here, Konsin, and hold on.